ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR on 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz as transmitters 3 and 4, and also on radio station WBCQ, 7.490 megahertz. And you can go to our webpage, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and then go to the radio page, and you'll see links for both of these stations on the internet and a link directly from our page. If you would like to participate in tonight's broadcast, which will be a special program, it's 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. My guest just signed in. Like I said, we're going to have a special program tonight on Russia, Ukraine, Crimea, and related events. And my guest hosts will be Pastor Bob Hallstrom. He's our original Herald of Truth radio minister, and his Russian-born wife, Natalia. And I know the Russian education system is highly developed, and this would include your wife, Bob, but I don't know enough about her to give a better introduction. So would you like to introduce her and give a little bit about her background?
Well, they do have quite an education system over there compared to ours, because they go to school. Once you reach their college level, what we call college level, they go to school 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's right. I'm not kidding you. 8 hours, 6 days a week. And they got homework to do and things of that nature. So it's very competitive. You know, when she went to the university, for example, they're only accepting 25 students a year. 25 students a year. Now, that's not very many people. The real problem here is that there's 2,500 or more people trying to get involved in this biochemistry thing. So, I mean, it's just extremely critical, and they don't have dumb people over there, and that's the reason for it. And she's got a lot of other. She's got degrees in accounting. She's got degrees in biology. She was got degrees as a nurse's physician, and that's probably enough to let you know that she's not just your average run-of-the-street person running around, even in Russia. She's got a PhD in biology. I mean, we might as well get the rest of it out. And a degree in clinical laboratory science here in the United States. So that pretty well winds up her background. It's about three times more than I've got, or before. I'm just envious of people who have such educations. So that'll tell you enough about her. What else do you want me to tell?
Well, I'd like to welcome you both to the broadcast, and I guess you or Natalia, both of you, before we start tonight's topic, I'd like to know a little bit about the difference between the American perception of Russia and the Russian people as it differs from the reality of what it's like over there. I know that it appears that America is coming under more government control and less Christian, and Russia is becoming freer and more Christian. You might comment on that.
Can you say something on that?
Well, I don't know about Christian, because...
don't even address that one. Okay. So address the difference that he talked about between the perception of the people in the United States and what they see in Russia and what it really is.
Well, I think American people see Russia differently, not what really is going on in Russia, what is really Russia is. The American people see the Russia from point of view what government want them to see, not what the real Russia is, in my point of view here.
Okay.
So, but I need to know what you would like to know about Russia.
Well, what's the real Russia like? What surprised you when you get to this country that was different than over there?
Well, basically, I didn't see any difference between those two countries. Even I came from Soviet Union, honestly. One thing I can say, I left Russia in 2001, and I think that Russia have more freedom of speech than United States. And the Russian people more independent from what government say. Russian people more try to analyze the situation themselves than think what government say to them.
And what do they do if they don't like it?
If we don't like it, we will tell about this. We will say about this. We will discuss about this. You can discuss about politics anywhere you want. At school, in university, in the office. No problem.
But if something is really going on over there, they really have a problem with, I think that from what I understand and what I've read and what you've told me too, is that they go out and have, I don't want to say riots, but they have times where they get together to let the government know in person that they don't like what's going on. Is that correct or am I got that
yeah,
wrong?
Yeah, that's correct.
So they do that. We don't do that. You know, we just stay in our home and, you know, and say, well, that's not good and that's it, you know. And we listen to ABC, CBS, and NBC and think it's the gospel according to God. But it's not. You know, that's the last place that you can get good information as far as I'm concerned. You get better information over the Internet about what's going on in the United States and also the same thing with what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq and places like that. And what has happened over here in the Ukraine. You know, we're not getting the right information. You could do better if you could have a BBC place if you want to get things in the English language. But it's just, I guess that's about it for that.
Well, I know that RT, Russia Today, is better news reporting than the U.S. I don't know how independent they are. They might be a government propaganda piece, but it seems that the press in Russia is freer and more independent, I should say, than the Jewish control of our media in this country.
Well, you know, newspapers and radio and television was controlled by government and was Soviet Union. But now we have lots of independent radio stations and TV stations, which is not under control of the government at all. We have some political talk show, which can show and say such things against the government. So if it's, I haven't seen such a political program here in the United States. And they're still working. No, nobody closed them or shut them down.
In this country, the press criticizes Putin quite a bit. And we can't trust the public media, but in the Patriot press, where we would expect to get some truth, we have everything from calling Putin a hero who eliminated the Jewish oligarchs controlling Russia, to a pro-Israeli Jew himself. So what's the truth about Mr. Putin?
Sorry, I misunderstand. What is the relationship between Putin and Jewish people? I don't understand that.
Well, what I'm saying is that the Patriot Press in this country has criticized Putin as being a pro-Israeli Jew, that he supports the Gaza invasion and meets with Jewish groups and made it illegal on the
Holocaust. I don't think so. That's why I misunderstand you. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think some other of the Patriot groups say that he eliminated the Jewish oligarchs that were controlling the economy there in Russia. So you've got everything from A to Z being said out there, and I just wondered, what's the truth about Putin?
Well, you don't know. We don't have this
problem
in Russia, yes, because when Soviet Union was, we have like 15 different nationalities living in the same country, and we have lots of mismarriages. You know, for example, I'm half Russian, I'm half Ukraine, and some people have Uzbek, have Jew, have Korean or whatever, you know. So we don't have this politic against Jew like here in the United States, you know. We even don't care if she is Jew or she is Uzbek or who is he, you know. For example, I'm Russian, but I was born in Uzbekistan. And when Uzbekistan had earthquake in 1966, all republics went to Uzbekistan and rebuilt this capital of Uzbekistan, Tashkent, from the scratch. Now it's a huge, beautiful city with underground, with marbles, stations, with crystal chandeliers around, you know, and 2 million people.
Well, that kind of brings up Crimea, which was, I guess, a part of Russia, and a coup overthrew the elected government of Ukraine, which is what the U.S. supported. But then Crimea
Before you address that, let me go back a little bit. Sure.
I want to go back a little bit to Laura Sadia. Do you remember Laura Sadia and when Georgia went in there and wiped out their capital city, killed all kinds of people, men, women, and children, and this sort of thing, which was actually put on one of the radio TV stations here in the United States. It got taken off real quick. But when the truth, when she, this lady told the truth, they cut her off. She lived there. She was there. She came over. She was thanking Russia for helping them in Lower Sadia. And just a second.
Okay, you can talk. I need
the
internet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. But the thing here was, is Georgia invaded Laura Sadia. Now this is during the Olympics. You know, we're in China at that time. Now Putin was over there, and so I don't know where our guys were, but Putin was over there, so he wasn't there to do anything about it. But the thing is, Laura Sadia had an agreement with Georgia, that Georgia would not interfere with Laura Sadia, that they were a private country. Okay, so with that, those people don't have the ability to take care of themselves if they're attacked by somebody like Georgia. So they made a pact or agreement with Russia, and Russia agreed if they were attacked by any country, they would come down and help them. And they did. But it isn't shown that way on the press here. It doesn't, and you can find this out on the internet. That's just common knowledge. So anyhow, Russia taught them a lesson. You broke the contract, and they drove them clear back almost to the sea. But then they pulled out. And then they rebuilt the capital city for these people, you know, and they left alone. So that's an important part here because we're getting the wrong information. We think that Russia went in there, you know, like bulls in a closet, and did this all without any reason to. And we do this all the time. Hell, we got Russians with every country in the world just about that. We'll go in there and help them. So Russia had a contract with them that he would help them. And he did. So what's so wrong about that? So now you're talking about the Crimea. Well, the Crimea, the situation there, was the people on the eastern portion of there did not want to be a part of Ukraine. Okay, they didn't want to. So what they did is they petitioned Russia to become back into Russia. Now, when did Crimea come into the scene? Back in the days of
Black Sea?
No, the queen at the time.
Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine II. Catherine II took over that country. My gosh, how many hundred years is that? You know, but it belonged to them. Then one of the presidents, and Natalia can tell you who he is, decided to give that Crimea portion.
Khrushchev
did that. Give it to him.
Because
you know?
It was Soviet Union, it was the same country.
Yeah, see, but
it's like Oregon will get a part of their state to Idaho. Same thing.
So anyhow, people have seen this from the wrong side. They petitioned Russia. Russia agreed and came down there and made them part of their country. They asked to become Russians again. They want to go back into Russia. So why should we stop anything like that? It's not our business.
The vote was overwhelming when they held an election.
Who
there.
Who did tell you that? Who did tell you that?
She's asking how you knew that.
You're not.
No, how do you know that? Who did tell you that?
You don't hear much on.
Well, anyhow, you're right. You're absolutely right. So I thought I wanted to bring that in before it went any further because now the people can understand what really happened there. They didn't go down there and just take it over. They took it over because they are asked to do that, just like Laura Stadia.
We had a referendum.
Laura Stadia asked Russian for help, and Russia took them under their wing and said, if anybody attacks you, you know, we shall come to your aid. And so here we have the same situation again. What's wrong with that? Who are we to go in there and to take care of their politics? You know, we should keep our mind, well, maybe I should use that. We ought to keep our business at home. You know, we're sticking our nose in too many people's business and countries, this sort of thing. It needs to stop, but I don't think it's going to do it. And the reason I say that is because they have been, our government has been trying to do all kinds of things against Russia to make them look bad. See, well, we had that plane over there that was shot down. Well, blamed that on Russia. Okay, that's a heck of a deal. So what did Obama do? He cut off. He put, can't even think of the word. I'm so excited.
It doesn't matter. When this plane was shot down, every United States and Europe was against Russia. So Russia did the bad thing. We even don't know who did that yet. For one thing. Another situation.
I know Russia the only people who had the capability was the Ukraine armed forces.
Let's think it this way. This plane was flying on the territory of Ukraine. It was guide of the guy, how you call it, who guide the planes, how you call it in
pilot?
Not a pilot, from the earth, who is guiding them. Dispatcher, right? This was a Ukrainian dispatcher. Why did he send this plane to the territory where the war is going? Question. So even, for example, I don't know, for example, even these Russian people took this plane down. But how you can see which plane is flying over there? Maybe we thought, okay, plane is flying over there, this plane is going to bomb us. Maybe it's plane from Ukraine. You cannot see it. But I don't think it's a fault of these people who took plane down, it's full fault of the person who sent this plane over there, for one thing. And another thing, okay, so Russia took this plane down, Russia is bad. What about July 3rd, 1988, when United States Air Force took Iran air plane down, 655.
I remember that.
Or was it that?
You don't remember that?
Yeah,
it was
between
19...
Iran and...
yeah, 1988. So, why did nobody say anything that the United United States is bad. Let's do something against them. And what United States says, oh, sorry, it happened.
So you can look that up on the internet under Wikipedia.
Yeah, there's no information there. What about Ukrainian Air Force when they took down the plane? I think it was 1997, which was fly from Israel to some city in Russia. We took it down by mistake. What we say? Oh, sorry, we made mistake. It's happened. So?
I know the U.S. is saber-rattling now. Obama's talking about arming some people up in Lithuania and the Baltic countries.
Of course, it's understandable. Europe and the United States want you to put NATO army close to Russian borders. This is why we fight for Ukraine.
Who are the people that are, what do they call those people that are controlling Ukraine right now?
They are fascists.
Yes. Yeah. They're fascists.
Do you know that we burned down the people in May, I think, in Odessa? Children, women, pregnant women in the building? Alive? Do you know about this?
No, I haven't heard that.
No? Nobody told you about this. Why? Why United States don't say such things?
There was pictures on the internet with symbols of...
Yeah, with all these pictures.
With these pictures in it. And also one of the German guy.
So basically United States supports fascist government in Ukraine.
Hitler's. I got Hitler's picture on some of the buildings.
Yes,
over
I
there
have
Hitler's
pictures all over the place.
Some people say that the coup was Jewish-backed and that the current Ukrainian president is Jewish, and at the same time they're calling it fascist, and I know some of the right-wing leaders there are actually pro-Israeli, pro-Jewish, so...
Maybe, but this is not the point. The point is the Ukrainian president is a billionaire. You think he's blank taking care of his own people? No. How did he get this, all these billions, do you know?
No.
So? I don't want to say it.
And so what do? We're sending him billions of dollars, or millions, or whatever it might be. The numbers are too big. We're sending him more money. What's he going to do with it? You think he's going to, you know, give it to the people and do anything to them, or is he just going to fast his tip?
He's asking support from United States. He asking for support from United States, and he's a billionaire. Why he didn't use his money to help his own beautiful Ukraine?
I guess the eastern part of Ukraine is pro-Russian and would like to break off from the current government of Ukraine.
Well, this is not the point. The point is that he asking support from Obama to give him money. Obama already sent him $7 billion to support his army.
Yes, he's asking for armament, too.
Yes, but he's a billionaire. Why he don't want to spend his money to support his own country? If he loves his country so very much. I'm talking about president of Ukraine.
Right.
Now, some of those people have been identified as people from somewhere up there in northern. Where did they come from? Way up there in the north? Like the ones that came to the United States up there. They're pacifists, but I can't remember that now.
Well, the people in the east, south of Ukraine, we don't want to be in the Ukraine, under Ukraine government, because we don't want to be under fascist government.
But have to understand also...
We don't want even to be a part of the Russia. We want to be independent. Independent republic. Small country.
Seem like the natural thing to do is let them vote which way they want to go, but I know that...
Absolutely.
This
you think the dictator's going to let them vote?
but Ukrainian soldiers bomb them every day. So... That is the truth.
What's the economy like? I know that they're having economic boycotts of Russia. How's that affecting
the Russia
economy?
Don't care about economic boycotts. We have oil, gold, diamonds, meat, milk, everything.
Well, they cut off things to Russia. In other words, the United States was sending food over there to them, this sort of thing, and they cut it off. The Europe and some of those countries over there had cut it off too. So what happens now? Well, what Russia did was they went to South America. You know, and they're
you don't understand it correct.
Okay. Correct me.
No. So America and Europe make boycott to Russia. We close the accounts in the country. So Russia said, okay, we wait long enough to try to make, to be friendly. You boycott us, we boycott you. So now we don't need any products from United States, from Europe, because Russia bought meat from United States, like chicken and vegetables and some fruits from Europe, just to keep relationship. So now Russia says, we don't need your meat, we don't need your vegetables, we close all McDonald's, we don't need Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola anymore.
Ran them out.
That's it.
Now
wait, we got agreement with Brazil, Costa Rica, and another countries from where we can get the same thing for twice cheaper price.
Well, what this, the impact here is, of course.
I just say I understand that Russia is one of the few countries that doesn't have a national debt, like that Putin had it paid off, and that, of course, the U.S. has a huge national debt.
We can't even write enough zeros on a piece of paper. But the thing is about what's happened here on these things, on these cutting off the produce from United States and from Germany and these kind of countries, when you cut that off, which I would do the same thing if I was him, because if the United States doesn't want my stuff, well, I don't want their stuff. But what happens here to our economy? I mean, we've got an economy that's out of control. It's absolutely, I mean, we don't even really have an economy anymore when you get right down to it. We're country now that everybody has to work for something. We don't manufacture stuff and things of this nature. All that went overseas. So anyhow, this is a big thing because people aren't being hired. They're not working. You know, they're not working. They don't have jobs. We can't pick fruit and send it over there if they're not going to take it. So why pick fruit, you know, or whatever it is. So the impact is on the United States and the European countries. Worse than it's not bothering Russia.
It appears that they're going to drop the American dollar as the trading unit of choice.
Yes, we think about this as well.
Well, China has already got together with Russia, and they're coming to an agreement right now. I don't know if I say right now, but I mean that's in effect right now, and so Japan will be next on it probably. And so now what happens? You see, you can't buy oil in the world without American dollars. Well, if they go to doing their own stuff like this, then American dollars, you know, become, let's say, worthless. They're almost worthless now, but they're worth less anyhow. And that would cause an impact on this country that would just be unbelievable if they do that, and I'm sure they will. I would, if I were them. I wouldn't use dollars anymore. I'd use our own currencies, you know.
I agree with you. We're at the bottom of the hour. Let me give our call-in information in case any of our listeners would like to call in and ask questions or make comments. Our toll-free number is 877-924-7425. 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. If you would like to dial direct, especially our foreign listeners, the number is 678-949-5091. 678-949-5091. While I'm at it, let me invite people to go to our website, www.kingidentity.com, KINGIDENTITY.com, or you can write us at P.O. Box 1021 Harrison, and we can send out some information. Bob, would you like to give some information where they, we do carry your book on Judeo-Christianity, but I know you have other books. Would you like to give some information if somebody wants to contact you?
Well, it's Gospel Ministries, at P.O. Box 9411, P.O. Box 9411, Boise, Idaho. That's if they want anything. I have, you know, I'm really interested in what you've done here, because it tells us a lot that's going on. If people would just, it's not the people's fault. The people don't know what's going on. And ABC, CBS, NBC isn't going to give you the right smooth. All that stuff is programmed. You know, I've known this for years. I was saying the things like this 20 years ago, before I even met Natalia. You know, we have becoming a socialist country, and we have been since before Roosevelt. You know, so it's something that can't be stopped right now. Obamacare has just about put the death cross on a grave, if you will, because so many people were ruined by that. They couldn't even keep their private insurance, which cost them less than what Obamacare was going to cost them, things of that nature. So, you know, this just can't happen. I would think that our people would, if they had any sense, we can't do it, because our people don't have guns. They don't want to shoot. They don't want to go out in the streets. And they got to work. It takes two people in the United States now to even survive. That's why you don't have children. You wonder why you don't have the white people in this country, the Caucasians, if you will. When you take all the other countries and races of people that are in the United States, we are now not the majority. We're not the majority. And all these people are putting themselves in our society. California's about down the tubes. And they're running these states now. Denver's in terrible shape with them. They've got more people up there that are Mexicans than they can count. They estimate are around 1 million people. You know, they don't know. So, you know, we're in trouble, and I don't know how we're ever going to get out of it.
It's interesting to listen to some of the old sermons that were preached by our people back in the 50s and 60s, and they're warning about things like, oh, they're trying to take away the Panama Canal, you know, they're changing the immigration laws, and et cetera, et cetera. And all of that's come to pass, what they were warning us about back 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's just like the national debt. I think it was, I'm not positive this, I think it was the John Birch Society that was putting out no trillion-dollar national debt back in about 1980, 81 or somewhere along in there. Well, who was listening to them? You know, now look at it. I mean, my gosh, it's not just $17 trillion national debt, because it's not counting the future obligations they've got for all of them, this Medicare, Medicaid, and everything else. That's just what they, on the books that they have to pay, that they should pay off right now, you know. So you're looking probably in the neighborhood of $150 trillion as a national debt, including the future, you know, and it's going to get bigger. The more of these people, you know, populate us, then the more people we've got to take care of.
Well, Obama isn't doing anything to stop the immigration across the southern border. I mean, letting them stay here.
There's supposedly about 30 million illegal aliens in this country right now. You know, they all commit felonies. You know, they should be in jail, or we should put them in a boat and send them back somewhere.
Well, immigration is not a problem. The more problem that he just let go five terrorist people is absolutely not understandable. No, why did he do
certainly
that?
Certainly not common sense.
Absolutely.
We have a caller from Rochester, New York. Walter, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, hello, folks. Actually, I'm in Webster, New York, which is about 5 miles from Rochester. But anyway, I want to ask, the first question I want to ask, I just turned on the show. The fellow has a gospel ministries in Boise, Idaho, box 9411. What's the zip code?
83709.
Okay, 83709. It's called Gospel Ministries?
Gospel Ministries, yes, that's correct.
Okay, I'll probably send something to you. But I have two questions tonight, if I may, about the scriptures, okay?
Okay.
All right. You got Isaiah 56 and Romans 9. Now, Isaiah 56 talking about where God's going to bless the strangers as well as his people, included with Israel. Could you explain a little bit about that, please?
Are you saying I'd have to go read that particular thing. I don't have it in my head, so tell me again.
Well, I don't have it in front of me either, if you look at Isaiah 50, chapter 56, you'll see it right there where God talks about the strangers, not Israel.
Yes.
Said he's going to include them and bless them. They're going to come into their Sabbaths and everything. So what do you say about that?
Well, there's not a problem with it. There's not a problem with it because, you know, he could do that. This is my opinion, of course, now, but he's made a contract or whatever you want to call it with Israel. And they're the people that are supposed to take care of all this stuff and become his people. But we haven't done that. We failed miserably. He told them to kill everybody when they moved into the promised land down there. They didn't do it and they've had a problem. We move over here, we've had the same problem from that, see. But there's nothing wrong with that. But we should be taking care of our own people before we worry about the other people. So through these ministries and one thing or another, which I don't think it's a good deal for them, the people over there. You know, we're giving them money, we're sending them food and all this kind of thing. But you know, we've got 50 million people out of work here in this country. We've got children that are starving in this country. You know, why are we doing that kind of a thing? I mean, these people, the first thing you got to do is get Israel when the time comes. Israel will come back into the nation. But after that, everything else can be adapted into a society. But it doesn't have to be a mingled society. I mean, God didn't put the blacks with the whites, you know, at the same time. He made them separately, made the Chinese separately or this sort of thing. So, but he didn't put
the
them together.
Of the nation according to Israel. So they're
yeah,
supposed to be
that's
separated.
Right.
Okay.
We have blessed them already with medicine and with architecture and clothing and just civilization in general. So they have been blessed, but it's not a blessing to either race to mix them in the same society.
All right. Okay. My next question, if I could, is in Romans 9. And I know that the translators really twisted that around, where Paul's talking about Israel not being all Israel, then he's talking, he's differentiating between the promised people and the Israel flesh. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Okay, I don't have information before me there, so it's a little difficult for me to do that.
I'll comment on
that. Is
that
the one where he talks about, I don't have a Bible handy. I'm not even in my office today. I'm doing this, you know, without any information in front of me, so you have to forgive me for that.
Well, okay, what I can do is, let me see. I'll read the part there where I think they really twisted it around deliberately so we don't understand the true meaning. Let me see where it starts it here. Yeah, it says, let's see, Romans 9. Let's see. I'll start in verse 6. It says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. This is King James. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. So that's what I'm wondering. I know the interpreters or the translators of this book, they twist this around so it doesn't make, it's not clear what Paul's trying to say here.
I believe it's talking about the calling and the sifting that's taking place. You had Adam, and then from Adam you had Shem and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then 12 tribes of Israel, and then from Israel you had those who were Christians. Not everybody has come into this calling, so it's sifting. True Israel is the called out chosen seed line. We are sons of God, but our spirit needs to be quickened. And did you have any comments?
I remember this now, but it's too much to tell you over the telephone. I think I did a tape on that years ago, and I'd be glad to, if I can find one, I'd be glad to send it to you if you write me a letter.
Okay, I will. Okay, one last question I have. Where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you're guilty of all the blood back to Abel. That leads to serious implications here. Try to tell people this. That means then, when the flood happened with Noah, all his descendants, none of them had the blood of Abel on them, correct? So that means these Pharisees can be traced back to Cain that survived the flood. Is that what's being said here?
I don't think so. The thing here you're getting into is historical so far as who was there. I mean, we got to go back to the Old Testament and find out the separation of Israel and into two countries or two nations, if you will, Israel and they were taken out of the country. And they went as there's 2-3 chapters on this, and they were taken out of the country. Now, who's in the country now then? Who took over the country while they're gone? They're all been taken out of the country. Some of them did go to Babylon, but everybody else is gone. So who's there now? Give that some thought.
We have literature on this and other subjects, and specifically on the flood. I'd like to thank Walter, but we have another phone call from Akron, Ohio, so I'll take that right now. Welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, hello. This is just sort of serendipity. I had to tune in, and I usually don't listen to, frankly, religious programs, but the guests tonight were amazingly on target, and I really share the lady's indignation about the lies we're being told by the CIA-controlled media in this country, and people don't realize that. CNN and Fox, NPR, PBS, Washington Times, Washington Post, and New York Times are really run by the CIA. If you just look up Operation Mockingbird on any search, it'll show you CIA Operation Mockingbird, that all the media collaborates secretly with the CIA to fly us into these wars and to demonize, the concocted villain of the day to justify hostilities and wars, and that's now, of course, Putin. And I just am really angry that it seems in my long lifetime there's never been more propaganda to manipulate people against whoever the United States wants to attack, whether it's Assad, whether it's Gaddafi, whether it's Putin now. And it's just such cynical lying that's going on. I think people should check other sources, not just the Internet in general, because that's 99% infiltrated by the existing media. And it's even worse because they pretend to be, you know, independent Joe Q. Public, John Q. Public, and they're actually all kinds of armies of liars from the CIA and the Pentagon and private contractors working for them that are pretending to be independent commenters, and they're actually propagandists. So I've advised people to check out a source like Global Research, globalresearch.ca. And I wanted to get into so many things about the lies we're being told about. Well, one of the things about the plane crash, the lady brought up that the Nazis controlling Ukraine, I mean, Kiev sent that plane over a war zone. But even more than that, there's been evidence mounting that it was shot down by those Nazis jets, SU-25 jets, the OCED, even of the NATO countries came over there, and the first one on the scene before they could cover up pointed out that this was a machine gun fire from a plane, and that there's radar proof of this now, that there were planes going over, approaching that airliner, and that there were people on the ground that saw this, as well as now radar proof. And the first investigators from even the NATO country over there said that it was shot down by cannon fire from jets, not from the ground, not from a book missile. And now that's why all of media has gone silent now after screaming bloody murder for weeks. Now that the evidence is mounting that it was our guys that did it, these Nazis over there, now all of a sudden they just don't want to talk about it. And now the so-called investigation is run by the fox in the hen house. The very people in NATO countries are now controlling the black box, which they're not going to show anybody. The air traffic control tapes they're not going to show anybody. And they've all agreed among themselves that nobody can release anything. Even if there was one of these perpetrators of the perpetrator countries of NATO, if one of them vetoes any information. So, you know, all of a sudden there's silence in the media after screaming bloody murder and now saying that we're not going to release any of the information. That alone, to me, convicts them of being the people behind this. So it's terrible cynicism that's going on in the media. And I don't on these issues, I bring religion into it, and I don't. And I think that it's a mistake to make it a basis of Jew or not Jew. It should be Zionist or anti-Zionist, because the Zionist Israel is really the enemy of ordinary Jews. It has nothing to do with Jews on the ordinary level. If you look up the hidden history of Zionism, it actually shows that the founders of Israel collaborated with Hitler against the majority of Jews who were non-Zionist at the time before they got brainwashed by Israel and the United States. So if you look up the hidden history of Zionism, the Zionist leaders collaborated with Hitler because they had the same type of racist, supremacist idea that chosen people master race, and they actually helped them exterminate non-Zionist Jews, and they actually worked against, helped them, the Nazis attack the leftist-led anti-Nazi resistance. So we're being brainwashed about everything. And, you know, the claim that Israel represents the interests of the Jews is exactly the opposite if you actually look at the history. So when it comes to that or any other issue, I think people have really got to check other sources, and I really appreciate the guest you've had on there tonight.
Well, we appreciate your phone call, and we've got another caller. So
and that guy's right on. He's right on target, incidentally.
We'll take a caller from Granville, Illinois.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for your program. I have a question concerning Scalar Energetics with Chernobyl, with the Russian nuclear power station, or the Scalar Weapons station. And also I know that False Israel, with their Scalar Weapons back in the early 80s, and I don't really know who fired who first, but regardless, I do know this, that when Israel fired their, False Israel fired their Scalar Weapons at Russia, they knew that that when they had the power surge, because the Russians had fired, I don't know if they'd fired at Israel or what, but they had fired off their Scalar Weapons, and they were backing the power out off the grid, what they call the back grid. And so when false Israel fired their scalar energetic weapons at Chernobyl at the Russian nuclear power station, it caused the reactor to spike, and they knew that if that happened, that it would kill, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of people and, you know, cause radiation all over Europe as well. So I know false Israel did that. Do you want to comment on it?
You got more on it than I do. I don't know about her. Do you know about that?
About Chernobyl? What's happened with Chernobyl?
Yeah, with the scalar weapons plant there, with the Russian scalar energetics controlled by the KGB, and false Israel has false Israel fired on Russia. We don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've never made the assumption to know whether or not who fired on who, but I do know that Israel, false Israel, fired on the Russians, and they were backing off the power through the power grid, the capacitor grid. And when they were backing it off, they did that deliberately, and they spiked power on the station, and it caused the reactor to go into meltdown.
No. Well, in Russia, it doesn't happen this way like it's happened in Israel. It just was some kind of accident, and they didn't note it in time.
Well, I believe it was more than an accident. I believe if you go back and look at Chernobyl, it was what we call scalar energetics technology. Uh-huh. And I've talked to a man who's one of the predominant people when it comes to this technology in the United States, and I'm familiar with it because of as far as what God has showed me about it, the revelation. But I do know that Israel, false Israel, when they fired on Russia, they knew that would cause a spike. They knew intentionally that would cause a meltdown in the reactor, and they knew that hundreds of thousands of people would be exposed to radiation, and millions of people would literally be killed. And I, you know, God's going to judge them for the murder of all.
May I ask you the question? Maybe I misunderstood you. You said Israel fired the Russia?
Yeah, Israel fired at Russia. We're not sure. I'm not sure if Russia fired at Israel. We know that the false Israel government fired their scalar weapons.
No, it's not true. Israel didn't fire the Russia when it happened in Chernobyl at all.
Well, he's saying that he's got evidence for that, but you don't know about it.
No, I know about it. Because I know the friends.
About scalar weapons? Excuse me, ma'am, do you know about scalar weapons, scalar energetics?
No, I don't know about these weapons. But
it's only controlled by the KGB. They're the only ones that control it, Russian Army.
Who was a soldier in the army at that time when it happened, this tragedy. And he helped the people evacuate from these territories.
Well, my other comment is that I do believe that they're false Israel, and I know that they're Nazis, are involved over there in Ukraine, and they want to make the Ukraine their second homeland. They want to make a Jewish state out of Ukraine.
I don't know about anything of this. Yes.
Yeah, you have more knowledge there than we do.
Yes.
This is an interesting conversation, but we're at the end of the broadcast. Do either of you have some concluding remarks? Because we're going to have to sign off here.
No, it's been a pleasure being with you in this, giving us a chance to express, our opinions of what we know. And we hope that it does some good. And the gentleman that just called is just... We haven't heard of that information, either one of us. You never heard it over there, and I don't know anything about it. So that's something that would have to be looked into, and it's something that I don't really look into.
Where did he get this information?
I don't know. He said to look it up somewhere.
I'd like to thank you both for being on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.